You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Democratic elites have decided that blue-collar workers, that union members, that men and women with calluses on their hands, they've made the wrong choices, in John Kerry's words. Well, that is not a unifying message. It's not doing the job we should be doing, fighting for working men and women in this country.
January the 28th, 2021, those are the words of Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, chastising John Kerry, now the new energy czar, our cabinet position, whatever he's been given, something that's special envoy for climate. And he did say, these folks that are relying on these energy jobs and blaming us for wanting environmental controls and to fight climate change and global warming, they're going to lose their jobs anyway over a period of time. In fact, Washington State Governor Inslee says, we don't want our kids shackled to jobs that won't be here. Do you hear what they're saying? And I got to add, here's John Kerry telling you that you need to cut back on your energy, and we're going to cut jobs through Biden's executive order the other day, wiping out a minimum of 11,000 direct jobs on the Keystone Pipeline. And Biden's all in favor of that. And the climate czar, John Kerry, has his own private jet. Yeah, of course. I mean, but he's different. He is, as Senator Cruz said, among the elite. The elite, the leftists, will never go after their own who are contributing to carbon footprints. How many of you think in Hollywood have their own private jets or access to them on a constant basis? And they're the ones telling you how to live your lives and telling others, we're cutting down your jobs, we're shutting it down. Look, that is like telling someone, look, you have kids and they're going to have kids. And in the future, you'd want a better house than what you're living in. So all of you living in this house right now, get out. We're going to burn it to the ground, and you wait for us to build the other house. We're not going to build the other house first. We're going to burn yours down while we're working on it. And you just have to wait. Take care of yourself the best way you can. That is pretty much what they're telling energy workers. 400,000 jobs lost just in Texas when they shut down land leases. And this is just beginning. This is what the left has been wanting and pushing, and Joe Biden rushing in to do it by executive order. Well, even the New York Times, even the left-wing New York Times is acknowledging, Joe, here's their headline. Ease up on the executive actions, Joe. He signed dozens since taking office just last week. And again, involving climate change, coronavirus, overseas abortions, canceling the Keystone Pipeline. And the board says, this is no way to make laws. We're going to take you back in time when Joe Biden agreed, hey, we need to do this in our country by consensus. When I need votes for something, I need a consensus. We cannot just rule by decree and executive order. We're not a dictatorship. The very words of Joe Biden, and you're going to hear them later over the next 2 hours. And what is he doing now? Exactly what he said we cannot do in this country. And, of course, we still have those calling for defunding the police, saying the police are the danger. And now we've got Nancy Pelosi coming forward, saying the enemy of our nation is already inside the House of Congress. Specifically, of course, she's talking about Republicans, not Democrats. She says it if we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor and have threatened violence on other members of Congress. This is Nancy Pelosi. And, of course, she's getting support. AOC coming forward and quickly acknowledging there are racists inside the congressional members on the GOP side. And we got to get rid of them. I'm going to remind you what happened in 2019 with Congresswoman Omar and how Congress dealt with her anti-Semitic remarks. They tie together. And also the story of the public school that is open and they're going to start teaching preschoolers transgenderism. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public. But what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I got to get the votes. That's why, you know, the one thing that I have this strange notion, we are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
Those are the words of Joe Biden in an interview with George Stephanopoulos talking about, hey, I need to work to get votes on anything we want to pass. Because that's the way we do things. We do them by consensus. We need to do it that way. We're not a dictatorship. We don't just sign laws and make it happen. How quickly he forgot what he said. No surprise. He had always intended, if I ever get in control, I get that pen in my hand, and I sit at the resolute desk in the Oval Office, I will sign anything that leftists put in front of me. And he's been doing that. Over and over again. And we're not done. I mean, he's signing more today. I just told you how even the New York Times, left wing as it is, the editorial board saying, ease up on the executive actions, Joe. Ease up. The board actually wrote, this is no way to make law. A polarized, narrowly divided Congress may offer Mr. Biden little choice but to employ executive actions or see his entire agenda held hostage. These directives, however, are a flawed substitute for legislation. My God. Oh my God, as they say in the Hollywood. Oh, my God. This is the New York Times saying these directives are a flawed substitute for legislation. Well, I want to hear Joe Biden say it again, how he will try to abide and what he thinks should be in this country.
I got to get the votes. I got to get the votes. That's why, you know, the one thing that I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
But I ain't got it, and I'm not going to ask for it. I'm not going to wait for it. I'm going to make it happen. And Senator Ted Cruz pointing out what Joe Biden with a mighty pen has already done.
Last week, I sat outside the Capitol. I listened to Joe Biden give his inauguration speech. I thought it was a good speech. I was glad to see him make an appeal towards unity. I think all of us would like to see greater national unity at this time when we have so much division, so much anger and hatred pulling this country apart. But then he left giving that speech and he returned to the Oval Office and literally within minutes began signing these executive orders that were radical and extreme. As you noted, he signed an order canceling the Keystone Pipeline. 11,000 jobs with a stroke of a pen he made go away. 8,000 of those are union jobs. And at the same time, he rejoined the Paris climate deal, which threatens to destroy thousands of high-paying jobs across this country. And the answer, I've asked multiple Biden nominees what they would say to the union workers who just lost their jobs because Joe Biden decided they didn't deserve a job. And essentially, nominee after nominee after nominee has said, well, tough luck.
Tough luck. That's it. Just tough luck. We don't need your stinking job no more if we're going to go energy all protecting the climate and drop all fossil fuel efforts. We don't need your stinking jobs. And you guys, just tough luck. I mean, and again, the audacity, the arrogance of those on the left saying, well, all these oil-filled workers, they can go learn to build solar panels or windmills, or they can learn computer skills, and so some might be able to. I have a suggestion. May I interject a suggestion? Get them that other job that pays them what they're already making before you shut down the job. Would you consider that? And it's not just Biden signing and absolutely putting the death note on top of the Keystone Pipeline, affecting only us. It also affects Canada. And then, of course, he took the pen and said, well, what else can I do regarding energy?
Among these orders, one of the things Joe Biden did is he shut down new energy exploration on federal land. Just shut it down again with a stroke of a pen. And by the way, you know who that helps? That helps Russia. That helps Iran. That helps Venezuela. That means America relies more on Middle East oil, sending billions of dollars to nations that are not our friends, and it pollutes the environment worse. They're saying, let's not rely on lesser producing, more efficient, job creating American energy. Instead, let's go back to being energy dependent on foreign nations. This is hurting a lot of jobs, and it's undermining the security of our country.
Absolutely. And among those that he's just given an extra ability to, an additional power to, Russia, China. We're going to spend more time on how Biden, by some of these actions he's taken already, is indicating he's going to get deeper into bed with China. Now, reference these oil leases. The Western Energy Alliance, a trade group representing 200 companies engaged in oil and natural gas exploration in the Western U.S. states, filed a lawsuit yesterday challenging Joe Biden's executive order to stop drilling leases on federal land. The complaint challenging his order as exceeding presidential authority, stating in the lawsuit, the law is clear. Presidents don't have authority to ban leasing on public lands. All Americans own the oil and natural gas beneath public lands. Congress has directed them to be responsibly developed on their behalf. But again, the left attitude is, hey, what we're doing here is going to be better. Listen again to Joe Biden explain about climate change, and he says that it means more jobs, that climate change will mean more jobs. Let me remind you what yesterday his climate advisor, Gina McCarthy, said. This administration is not asking for sacrifice. The exciting thing is we're not asking for sacrifice. The president fully understands people are suffering now. This is all about building good, clean jobs. Jobs where you can get access to jobs, to good pay, and unions. And 8,000 union jobs got cut when Biden signed off to kill the pipeline. But again, the left attitude is, you guys out there in the oil field, and so you don't really, you're buying a lie. You're buying a lie. John Kerry says, basically, all of you workers in the oil field, you're kind of deluded.
Workers have been fed a false narrative. No surprise, right, for the last few years. They've been fed the notion that somehow dealing with climate is coming at their expense. No, it's not. What's happening to them is happening because of other market forces already taking place.
That's a lie right there. Other market forces taking place. If that's true, why have we had so much expansion in the oil and gas industry? Yes, there are efforts to bring more solar power, more nuclear power, so forth, other clean energies. But we still have the demand for fossil fuel in our nation and beyond. Maybe someday we'll fully be clear up. Look, back if you turn, go back to the turn of this century, the turn of the last century, you had smokestacks belching columns and columns of black smoke falling over cities and usually poor neighborhoods that surrounded them. And yes, we had to get in there and clean that up and start scrubbing some of that stuff free before it went into the air. Yeah, there was a good reason to do that. And yes, some plants had to put up more money. Some plants had to shut down, unfortunately. That was not easy for those folks either. But we are not like the horse and buggy day right now that the oil workers are building horse carriages and cars are coming off the assembly line. We're not there. We are at a point where the oil and gas is still needed for our nation, for our security. And when you hear Biden and Kerry talk about the good that they're bringing, and for climate envoy John Kerry to tell you that you're deluded if you think that this is the future and that your job means something. This is the guy that flies around on his private jet who has never worked an honest day in his life. The same one thing with Joe Biden. I've worked in the oil field when I was a late teenager. And some of the men that were working in that field then, they were not going to have much more than that, but it was a job. And they worked hard at it. And they do it today. They do it with a little bit more efficiency than we had then, certainly. But they're still got a job, and they're building families and homes and contributing to the economy. Give me one job that John Kerry has held where he paid taxes as a payroll employee, or Joe Biden. Senator Ted Cruz again on the danger of shutting down these leases.
Among these orders, one of the things Joe Biden did is he shut down new energy exploration on federal land. Just shut it down again with a stroke of a pen. And by the way, you know who that helps? That helps Russia, that helps Iran, that helps Venezuela. That means America relies more on Middle East oil, sending billions of dollars to nations that are not our friends, and it pollutes the environment worse. They're saying, let's not rely on lesser producing, more efficient, job creating American energy. Instead, let's go back to being energy dependent on foreign nations. This is hurting a lot of jobs, and it's undermining the security of our country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want you to hear that again. It does. You know what the top five polluting countries are, according to, let me get the source here. This is active U.S. sustainability, I think it is. I'm going to go with their numbers. I haven't had a chance to check them. Here's what they want to claim. China, the world's most populated country, has seen its industry grow to become a serious danger to the planet. In fact, it says China, one of the top five polluting nations, at 30%. 30% of the pollution in the world comes from China. They put U.S. number two at 15%, but also acknowledge we have made major changes in our country. We've made major changes. India at 7%, third. Russia at fourth at 5%. Japan fifth at 4%. I tell you, these numbers do not jive with some other numbers I've seen, and I'm not going to verify or say they are accurate one way or the other, because India's had a higher, much higher contamination than what I see at 7% coming in third behind the U.S. But let's accept those numbers. If we accept them, and we're contributing only 15%, 85% is all these other countries, 30% of that, 85% for China. Do you see China signing on to the Paris Accord? Do you see them buckling down and doing what John Kerry and Biden say you should do for our country, or rather for our world? No. You talk about lying to the public. That's it. And then we got the lies that came out of Andrew Cuomo and they're being exposed, reference coronavirus.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Of what I've found all through this crisis is people value the truth. You know, give me the information. Mm-hmm. Don't give me spin. Give me facts that don't change. Tell me the truth. The country hadn't bought enough dosages. They now are going to buy enough dosages. It's 600 million. It will take 6 months. That's the truth. And until we get there, we have to watch these new strains. And that's the truth. So it is going to be a long 6 months, especially after what we've gone mm-hmm. through. That is the truth.
That is the truth. I'm doing nothing but the truth. So says Andrew Cuomo, New York State governor. He's not been telling you the truth from the beginning about the nursing homes. You know that. And unfortunately, some folks who had to bury their loved ones know it directly. And now the evidence is right in front of us. Remember when in March Cuomo issued an order, nursing homes must keep COVID-positive patients, can't send them to the hospital. If they come to you from the hospital, you have to take them. He finally rescinded that in May, and we've been asking repeatedly, what are the numbers? How many died during that time? Well, now the New York Attorney General says that the State Department of Health underreported COVID-19 deaths in nursing homes by as much as 50%. 50%. Then that's the truth. Now you got New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio saying, we want the full truth. We want the full truth. And he sees this as a political gambit to use against Cuomo. But de Blasio, relying on this report now by the Attorney General, that found the State Department of Health underreported deaths happened in nursing homes by up to 50%. 50%. And I'm still looking for an actual number. There were numbers around 6,000 to 8,000, maybe more than that. And I've yet to see where they're actually putting up new numbers. They just say underreported by 50%. I'm trying to find if they've updated the numbers. I don't see it. But I do know this. Cuomo has said the problem we have right now in dealing with COVID is, I shouldn't laugh because it led to people's deaths, but he says The problem with dealing with COVID is incompetent government.
Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
That's the truth. Well, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik now demanding that the New York Attorney General and the U.S. Justice Department subpoena all of Cuomo's administration documentations and communications regarding how he handled the coronavirus pandemic. That's the truth. And again, I see that they're referring to the state's COVID-19 death count in nursing homes underreported as much as 50%. Now, what they're showing as of January 27, the numbers I don't see changing for this, but they're saying as of January 27, there are around 6,000 confirmed deaths due to those in nursing homes, another 3,000 presumed. So 9,000, they're saying, that might be linked to COVID-19 in nursing homes. And if you believe those numbers, that's underreported. So it must be at least another 50% on top of that. I would willingly bet on an over-under it's going to be higher. Then I'd say the number's going to be above 30,000. I'd put money on it. But you've got Cuomo saying the people want the truth. And he said, I've been giving them the truth. I've been, you know, we're doing what we can. Well, Congresswoman Stefanik says, as a fellow New Yorker, I do want to publicly thank the effective and tireless advocates who have humbly served as the voice of their lost ones and have faced inexcusable treatment from the governor and his entire team, who we know have orchestrated a criminal cover-up. Wait for it. Here it comes. We know have orchestrated a criminal cover-up and have blood on their hands. And that's the truth. Cuomo wanted the truth. You got the truth. And Bill de Blasio is going to use it against him. It's going to get nasty, but unfortunately, people suffer. What Joe Biden is doing already is showing he's willing to get almost in bed with China. Explanation coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no middleman. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden, one of the orders he signed says you can't refer to the COVID-19 virus as the China virus or the Wuhan virus because, God forbid, we acknowledge where it came from and which country spent months silencing, oppressing, imprisoning the doctors trying to stop the spread of this virus. And the Chinese Communist government bears direct responsibility for the hundreds of thousands of lives that have been lost because of COVID-19. And the Biden administration, it seems virtually none of them are willing to actually say that out loud.
The words of Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, saying one of those executive orders from Biden basically struck the word China virus. Remember how Trump would always being attacked, saying it's racist when he says it's a China virus. He says, well, I call it the China virus because it came from China. That wasn't good enough for them. No, you're being racist again. Well, should we say it came from, Alaska? Well, it didn't come from Alaska, Larry. All right, how about Argentina? Didn't come from Argentina. The South Pole didn't come from, where'd it come from? Wuhan. Where's Wuhan? China. Talking about stupidity. And that was just the name. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. And Biden, of course, he wants things better with China. And believe me, China is more than happy to have Biden in the White House. Riddle me this. as much flack as we saw about any possible, quote, collusion between Trump and Russia and anyone in his family and any dealings or anything, riddle me this. Where was all the outcry from the left regarding Hunter Biden as Joe was running and referenced China? Where was the outcry? There was none. Still no outcry from the left. And there will be none. And Hunter Biden, the youngest son of President Joe Biden, apparently has kept his 10% stake in an international private equity firm with ties to China, despite promising he would sell his sale. That's according to a report I have here in front of me that this is Breitbart News claiming it, saying that Biden's family associate suggested he unload his stake in this company and finally laid to rest questions about his business dealings. And Joe Biden told voters, quote, no one in my family will have an office in the White House, will sit in on meetings as if they're a cabinet member, will in fact have any business relationship with anyone that relates to a foreign corporation or a foreign country. Well, I guess that means Hunter's not going to be in the White House on a cabinet position so far. But some of the people Biden has been putting forward, raising a lot of questions. Again, Senator Cruz talking about some of these nominees that Biden is putting up for nomination.
You look at the nominees Joe Biden is putting forward. They have a disturbing pattern of being apologists for the Chinese Communist Party. You look at Mayorkas, who was nominated to be the head of the Department of Homeland Security. When he was in DHS before, he personally spearheaded getting visas for big Democratic donors at the behest of Hillary Clinton's brother, including senior executives in Huawei, the Chinese espionage company. These are the people they're putting forward, are people who, as a policy matter, believe that America should embrace warmly communist China.
You hear that? Putting forward all of these people that have basically embraced China, and Huawei that poses as a telecommunications company, which is, I would say, underwritten, but actually is the Chinese Communist government arm, posing as telecommunications, but as a major spy operation. Congressman Hagerty, let me get this here right, the Republican of Tennessee, he's very concerned about what's going on as well. And he is, I said congressman, I meant senator. He is already questioning and speaking out against Biden's nominee for UN ambassador, Linda Thomas Greenfield. Now, Hagerty was an ambassador to Japan for a couple of years, and his experience with East Asia was a centerpiece of his 2020 Senate campaign. And he said, I have some real issues with Thomas Greenfield over a speech she put forward in 2019 in which she praised China's investment practices in Africa, praising China for what it's doing in Africa. He said the speech is deeply concerning. And she is among those that they're putting forward in the Biden administration that have ties and connections to China, that you have to say, why so many people linked to China? I ask, riddle me this again. If Trump had begun to populate numerous people in his cabinet or nominees for various positions that had linkage to Russia to any extent, you know you would have heard about it. It would have been front page in your face every day. Have you seen the leftists raise any question about these nominees from Biden? See, this nominee for the UN in a 2019 speech, again, her name is Linda Thomas Greenfield. She spoke at one of these Confucius Institutes, the one at Savannah State University in Georgia. The Confucius Institutes are funded by the Chinese Communist Party. We've discussed them numerous times. But at that speech in 2019 in Georgia at the Savannah State University, she discussed U.S.-China-African relations. And again, you got Senator Hagerty and others saying that speech really does not put China in the light we should see it. It's basically accepting, appraising, I should say, and basically the U.S. being sorry for anything we might have missaid about China. He said her speech did not have a full grasp on the magnitude that China is a U.S. enemy. He said, I see America needs a diplomat at the United Nations who fully comprehends the diplomatic, economic, technological, military, and moral dimensions of China's challenge. This nominee falls short. She has a 35-year service with U.S. Foreign Service. And she has told the committee, I regret giving that speech. I was going to deliver foreign affairs career advice to young people at Savannah. That's what I was going to do. But she didn't. Well, she got in there and switched gears, and she didn't know this is part of the Confucius Institutes. She knew what it was when she went in there. Senator Ted Cruz, again, sounding the alarm. This is the Paul Revere cry you should hear about Biden, the Biden family, relationships with China, and beholding to China. Please listen.
We had the confirmation hearing for Biden's nominee to be ambassador of the United Nations. She disclosed that just a little over a year ago, in October of 2019, she gave a paid speech before a Confucius Institute. Now, Confucius Institutes, as you know, are paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, paid for by the Chinese government. They engage in espionage and propaganda. I authored bipartisan legislation in the Senate that passed into law that has shut down dozens of Confucius Institutes. Well, Biden's nominee to be UN ambassador just over a year ago gave a paid speech there praising China and saying America needs to be more like China. This is dangerous that this administration, as a policy decision, is embracing and getting into bed with China.
Getting into bed with China. And again, Biden's youngest son, Hunter, appears to still hold a stake, 10% stake, in this international private equity firm that's also tied to the Chinese government. It was December 2013 that the younger Biden went with Daddy to Beijing on Air Force Two, part of an official state visit by then the vice president to China to avoid escalating tensions with U.S. over islands in the South China Sea. Not clear exactly what happened, but Hunter Biden shortly after that had a very lucrative business arrangement. Just 12 days after the trip, a multi-billion dollar deal with the state-owned Bank of China. Because he went to China on Air Force Two with Daddy. You know, you hear from the left, we need more diversity. Wait to hear what's happening inside the Biden White House.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Bye. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, President Biden continues signing the executive orders. I mean, even though the New York Times called him out for it, saying you need to back off of those, Joe. You're kind of going a little crazy with them. I mean, when the New York Times notices that, don't you think that's worth at least some response? No, he's going to go ahead and continue doing it, even though the New York Times said that's not the way things should be done. You should be working with Congress. And as he's doing that, of course, he's not stopping because he knows he can't get a consensus right now on a lot of things he wants to do. And one of those right now is, again, as Biden said from the Oval Office, in signing the latest, we're undoing the damage Trump has done, referencing reopening enrollment on the federal Affordable Care Act exchanges. His order would call on the Department of Health and Human Services to reopen enrollment on healthcare.gov, which serves 36 states to those who need coverage from Feb 15 until May 15. Supposed to do it today. Also measures strengthening Medicaid, a health care coverage program used by low-income, those with disabilities, children, the elderly, and others. You can't say all of this is bad. It's just a matter of the way he's doing it. Rescinding the so-called Mexico City policy, which bans our government from funding foreign nonprofits that perform or promote abortions, which the left would tell you that's health care for women, not so much for the unborn. And to review the Title X abortion referral restrictions. His COVID-19 Equity Task Force, that name right there tells you where they're going with it. The chair of the COVID-19 Equity Task Force says we need to target and prioritize the hardest hit communities with COVID. I would agree with that. But what they're apparently going to rely on is a CNN analysis of data from 14 states that showed vaccine coverage is twice as high among whites on average than it is among black and Latinos. I don't know of anything being put out on the basis of race. If it is, yeah, it should be corrected. Go for those who are vulnerable. It is clear that since the beginning of the pandemic, black, Latino, Native Americans have been disproportionately hospitalized and apparently dying from the virus, many times because they have other health conditions, and COVID contributes to it. And, of course, I still don't know what they want to do about Governor Cuomo and the report coming out that by ordering nursing homes in New York State to accept COVID-positive patients and holding back numbers on the deaths, holding back numbers on deaths, and when they do release them now, an investigation finds that they were still underreported by 50%. I mentioned earlier going into the break about in this segment, when we hear about diversity from the left, sometimes it's the same thing when they mean they want unity. Unity to them means uniformity, not unity. And unity means you come to our side, we're not going to your side. And unfortunately, it also applies when it comes to diversity. Diversity being what we tell you it is. Well, an analysis of the West Wing offices so far involving senior advisors, President Joe Biden's innermost circle of aides, apparently, according to Politico, out of 22 offices on the first and second floors, only four offices out of 22, only four offices, including one occupied by VP Harris, are held by non-white individuals. The rest, according to Politico, a supermajority of 18 such West Wing offices are occupied by white people. This comes just as Biden signed executive orders focusing on, quote, racial equity. Just as he signed it, I guess they didn't bother to look around. Now, again, I'm not saying anyone should have a job based on color, but when you're going to push for diversity and you have this kind of racial inequity, and yet you want to preach and tell the American people what they should be doing, that doesn't help provide equity. It doesn't advance civil rights. It doesn't help deal with racial injustice. And apparently the Biden press office, when they were asked about the demographics, as reported by Politico again, the Biden press office, no response. They're getting pretty good at that, by the way. The White House press secretary the other day asked questions. She said, you know, I don't know about that. I'll have to circle back around on that. And another one. I'll circle back on that. Another question. I'll have to circle back. She's not very prepared when she goes in there. Or she's also afraid, I can't speak the truth. I don't know. And yet they want to claim that the White House press corps under Trump was lying all the time, misleading. Next hour, AOC, among others, claiming that they're racist in the Congress in the GOP side. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.